What a long but rewarding day that was, Cherie. Smug grin, sweaty face. I proved in the Queen's speech that Haig isn't the only one who can come up with the quips at question time. Come on, give us a cuddle, Cherie.
You thought I was your wife in bed with you, didn't you, Prime Minister? You didn't bank on me being here, did you? Think you can just steal my catchphrase? Statistically, you are ahead in the polls, but it's not votes that count here, it's me. Yours was the weakest joke. Goodbye.
Ringers.
Miss Jones, I wanted a word about that new chap that's moved in the room upstairs.
Oh, Mr. Rigsby. He's ever so cultured and well-spoken. I find myself strangely attracted to him.
You keep your distance, Miss Jones. I know his sort, big and, you know, foreign. Black as the Ace of Spades he is. There goes the neighbourhood now.
Oh, Mr. Rigsby, you're so prejudiced. Oh, shh, here he comes.
Settling in, Mr. Vader?
Not really, Mr. Rigsby. I can't help noticing I've only got one 40-watt bulb in my room.
Hold on a second. I distinctly recall you asking for a room that was a little on the dark side. Anyway, what was that racket going on up there last night? What did I tell you? No lightsabers on after 10:30.
Mr. Rigsby, I don't suppose there's a payphone in the lobby. Only I need to phone my master, the Emperor.
Oh, Emperor, is it? Well, why didn't you say so? Always willing to accommodate any friend of royalty, you know. So, you and the Emperor planning anything special?
We are going to enslave the universe and spread evil through the cosmos.
Yes, well, just as long as you get my rent on time. See, Miss Jones, manners of a thug.
Oh, perhaps you're right, Mr. Rigsby. At least that other new resident is a professional, a doctor.
Yes. Excuse me, Mr. Rigsby. I couldn't help noticing that my room is smaller on the inside than it is on the outside. Surely this cannot be right, can it? Hmm? And to make matters worse, it seems to be stuck in the 1970s.
Well, that'll be all. That's UK gold for you.
And coming up later on FM, it's Money Box, a programme especially for listeners with loads of peps and ices, index-linked this, gilt-edged that, but do they ever buy a round? Never. Bastards. That won't be available to long-wave listeners because you're too poor to buy a proper radio. Though, if any of you come out of the 18th century and buy one, here are a few handy hints. One, Britain now uses decimal currency. Two, no one barters pigs anymore. And three, you can buy as many radios as you like as rationing has finished. And don't think you digital boys are getting off scot-free either. Sad, specky nerds like you would be better off investing £1,000 trying to find a girlfriend rather than on a radio that'll cost £20 in 3 years' time. And now, Desert Island Discs. Hello and welcome to Desert Island Discs with me, Sue Lawley. Man, I feel like a woman. My castaway today is a man famous for sitting opposite people who aren't as funny as him on the telly. I'm referring, of course, to Ian Hislop.
Sue, it really is a pleasure for me to be here, sharing my passion for classical music with you.
Here we go again. Mantovani, Wagner, Vivaldi, Bach. Oh, God, Kurt Weill. It's always the same. Every week, I get you celebrities coming in here picking the same poncy bits of music, thinking it makes you look posh.
That's one of my favourite discs.
Oh, yes? Well, there's only one way to find out, isn't there? Lloyd, can you hear me?
Yes, I can absolutely sue. So let's look at the evidence. Me, Lloyd Grossman, standing here with a Jemmy, just having broken into Ian Hislop's living room.
Hurry up, Grossman. Hurry up before the Rozzers get there. The record collection, quick. Come on, let's see what records Hislop really owns.
Seven Dolly Parton albums. The collected works of Leo Sayer. The Berlin Philharmonic plays Queen. A large quantity of ELO and Dollar's greatest hits. Sorry, greatest hit.
Just as I thought. Right, Hislop, you can forget the Schoenberg. What's really your first record?
You wouldn't have Remember Your Womble anywhere, would you?
G'day. I've got a brand new pathologist who's joined me here at Animal Hospital. Her name's Amanda Burton. And she's joining us from a show called Silent Witness. I'm sure her expertise is going to come in really handy. So, what can you tell from looking at this little fella, Amanda?
What we've got here, Rolf, is a man. 42 years of age. He's been struck with a blunt instrument. There's some strands of fibre under his fingernails. It'll become very important later in this episode. And there's a 95% chance I knew him. Well, we had a relationship earlier in the series.
No, I'm afraid you're wrong, Amanda. This is, in fact, a cute little kitten with a dicky tummy.
No, Rolf, you're wrong, and I'm right. I'm always right. That's why I give a slight little knowing smile at the end of every scene to show how right I am. And by the way, I'm not very impressed with your mortuary. Far too many live animals around for my liking. It's not hygienic.
Stone the dingoes, Amanda. This is an animal hospital.
No, Rolf, you're wrong. Can you not see I'm doing the smile? The smile, Rolf.
But Amanda...
Talk to the smile, because the rest of the face isn't listening. Right. Time now to perform an autopsy on that dead woman meowing over there. Who, just by glancing, was 36, was unmarried, preferred flossing to brushing, and was planning to go to her sister's in Cornwall this Christmas. And I also deduce that I'm extremely annoying. And that any second now I'm going to be struck over the back of the head with a blunt instrument by a bearded Australian man in his 70s carrying a wobble board.
Well, there's a turn up, folks. Seems she was right after all.
New from BBC Enterprises, a tape that will make you a better person. The best of Thought for the Day.
Good morning, everyone.
With Rabbi Lionel Blue. Remember when he got a little bit cross?
I'm a little bit cross this morning.
And his evergreen nuggets of general advice.
Don't worry, something will turn up, it usually does.
And of course, there's the religious message.
And St. Paul said to the Corinthians, don't worry, something will turn up, it usually does.
Yes, all his greatest hits on one irresistible tape. And when you order the Best of Thought for the Day, you'll also receive the bonus tape, Lionel's Thought for the Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Dear, dear, what sort of bloody agent are you, you stupid woman? Here I am, Richard Wilson, trying to shake off the character Victor Meldrew, even going to the point of killing him off.
What's the problem?
Problem? Look at the scripts I've been sent since. A sitcom where I'm Hector Speldrew, a grumpy old retired gynecologist whose catchphrase is, I don't conceive it. Another where I'm Proctor Melgrew, a retired ball boy from Wimbledon whose catchphrase is, I did retrieve it.
Well, what about that Undertaker one? That looked interesting.
Interesting? I'm a retired Undertaker, Spectre Caldrew, whose inane catchphrase happens to be, I don't bereave it. Need I remind you that Richard Wilson and Victor Meldrew are two separate people?
Actually, Richard, I do have this audition you could go for this morning. It's for King Lear.
Great, another grumpy old man. All right, I'll go, but I can't go till the afternoon.
Why not?
Because I'm driving Mrs. Warboys to the clinic, that's why.
I don't believe it.
BBC Radio 4. While celebrations continue for the 40th anniversary of Coronation Street, a popular Radio 4 programme is also celebrating its anniversary. It's 750 years of the Today programme. As a tribute, here's an excerpt from the first ever edition.
Thou is listening to Today, and just checking Stonehenge for a moment, I see the time is approximately spring. Past seven. I'm John III, Earl of Humphreys, and Warden of the Welsh Marches.
And I'm Sue MacGregor, none. Transport is in the headlines again after a horse and wagon fell off the main Watling Street path just outside Ironbridge. Is Britain's transport network like something from the Dark Ages? Or is it a thing of the past? With me to discuss this, the Deputy King, John of Prescott.
Now let me say, Sue, and I've never mentioned this before, so let me say it once again, and the King, myself, and I are all in agreement with ourselves and others on this point, forsooth. Although I am against sooth and against four, and bearing in mind we have had 180 years of Plantagenet neglect, and that is why we're where we are, and when we know how and who are, if to some extent more so.
And I thought Chaucer was hard to understand.
Coming up, fighting continues in Europe in the 60 Years' War, with experts predicting it could last at least another 40. But why, after all this time, can't the two sides just talk through their differences? We asked the British ambassador to Europe to explain.
Of the Battle of Poitiers. Terry's lost on a message to the Eleanor of Aquitaine said near.
Yes, I think that explains it. This time before we go for thought for the day, and today it's the founder of religious empiricism and inventor of the epistemological argument for the existence of God, St. Thomas Aquinas.
Don't worry, something will tell you. It usually does.
White House Post Office, Miss Harrell, may I help you?
Hello there, is that the White House?
Yes.
How's things going over there in the place?
Hey, they're going.
Oh, that's good, that's good. Listen, I just wanted to pop a call in before I get over there and I get to work and everything like that. And it's going to be good to meet you and be, you know, working with you every day.
Okay. What's your name?
Oh, well, a lot of people, you know, they're calling me this W, but, you know, just George. We'll be absolutely fine.
Okay, George. Everything
going okay over there in Washington, C.D.?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just in my backyard at the moment.
In your backyard?
But, yeah.
It must be nice and warm and toasty there because it's awful cold here.
It's going to be good to, you know, get together and work with you once I've, you know, done with my inoculation ceremony quite soon. Maybe we can hang out together and go roast some weenies. I think we got to call some meetings where we all get together. I'll bring my Sesame Street videos and we can watch them and we can, like, figure out which one doesn't belong and we can say the alphabet with Grover.
Okay, it's good talking to you.
Listen, it wasn't George W. Bush. It was actually Tony Blair at 10 Downing Street. We just thought we'd, you know, phone up and, you know, wind you up and that. And they hung up. Oh, bugger.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Brian Perkins. It was me. I let the dogs out. Apparently, there are only two shopping weeks left until Christmas. I know. I've got a Radio 4 advent calendar. I've been opening the doors. I do them all. No one else gets a turn. Jeremy Paxman tried to do Mondays, but I got there first. Because I hit him in the knees with a cricket stump. Behind the little door was a chocolate Sue MacGregor. So I ate her. Since then, I've had a liquid-filled Libby Purvis, a great big jelly Anne Widdecombe, and this morning I bit into a soft-scented Rabbi Lionel Blue. Nothing to do with chocolate. I just passed him in the corridor and wanted a piece of it. And I've already sneaked a look behind the last door. It's me, Brian Perkins, in a manger punching a donkey. Radio 4 advent calendars are available by sending me, Brian Perkins, £20. But there's no chocolate in yours. Oh, no. I've eaten the lot. So, at last you've trapped me and brought me to your secret lair. Finally, I come face to face with the shadowy evil mind who has wrought such devastation across much of the Western world. So reveal yourself, Blofeld, Scaramanga, or should I say Goldfinger?
No, it's me, Carol Smiley, Sunny Delight without the E numbers, welcoming you to another Changing Rooms.
So, I expect now you're going to tell me your evil plan.
No, Mr. Bond, that's Linda Barker's job. Now, what we've done here, Mr. Bond, is we've created a lovely underwater supervillain secret base effect. Which we think is really, really sinister. And we've added lots and lots of people in orange jumpsuits, wearing builder's helmets sprayed silver, which we think is really, really 60s. And what we're going to do is complement that with a lovely mounted laser gun motif. And unless the governments of the world bow to our demands to let us redecorate the whole world, we're going to unleash a lovely blown up the world effect, which we think is really, really maniacal.
I can see you've got my old nemesis Odd Job helping you.
I keep telling you the name's Andy Andy. I do odd jobs. By the way, Linda, I finished making that 6-megaton nuclear reactor you wanted out of MDF.
So, Mr. Bond, are you going to help us turn countless walls purple for no good reason?
You expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, we expect you to tie-dye.
I'll never break. I'm specially trained to endure anything you evil supervillain home decorators can throw at me.
Oh, really, Mr. Bond? That's just what 006 said before we tortured him.
With piranhas, crocodiles, man-eating sharks?
No, with Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen. We got him to redecorate 006's flat in a neoclassical Georgian Rococo style with plastic helmets and Egyptian Edwardian features throughout.
You monsters!
Hello and welcome to Loose Ends. And just before the show started, my producer Chris demanded I stop with all the constant theatrical name-dropping. Dame Judi Dench, what do you think?
Well, Ned, I think he's right. I think you should stop.
Well, Donald Sinden, as the incomparable Dame Judi Dench said to me earlier in the show, Ned, he's right, I think you should stop name-dropping. Was Dame Judi correct? Should I stop?
Yes, well, frankly, Ned, yes, you should, absolutely.
Right, well, Victoria Wood, can I turn to you as my wonderful theatrical friends, the incomparable Dame Judi Dench and the larger-than-life Donald Sinden was saying to me earlier in the show, should I stop all this theatrical name-dropping?
Well, yes, Ned, I think you should. Everyone's fed up to the back teeth with it. I think you should pack it in.
Right then, so, Prunella Scales, were the incomparable Dame Judi Dench, the larger-than-life Donald Sinden, and, of course, the sublime Victoria Wood, correct to insist I should stop the theatrical name-dropping.
Now stop it, Ned, or I shall have to get very cross and you won't like it.
So it seems we have a consensus. Yes, there's no more name-dropping for Neddy Poos, which, in fact, suits me down to the ground, as I was saying how tired I was of name-dropping at a very fine lunch I enjoyed just the other day with the delightful Penelope Keith, the majestic Rafe Fiennes, and the immortal woman out of Heidi High, and the...
It's time to remind you about the Today website at www.bbc/budgets-to-pay-for-this-load-of-old-rubbish.com. And now here's Sue with a roundup of where all your favourite Radio 4 personalities will be appearing in Panto this year.
Yes, thank you, John. At Scunthorpe Pavilion, James Naughtie will be playing Back End of Cow. Critics have acclaimed the authenticity of the performance, achieved apparently without the aid of makeup or costume. Meanwhile, fans of Professor Anthony Clare can see him performing in Jack and the Beanstalk at the Aberdeen Empire.
So, Jack, this giant stalk that you say you just can't keep away from, what do you think that represents?
And Libby Purvis will once again be appearing in Sleeping Beauty at the Leicester Pit.
My guests today all have something in common. They've all been put to sleep for 100 years by listening to me prattling on the radio. And Michael Burke will this year be appearing as Buttons at the Crouch End Palace.
My guest today had the world at her feet. She was the belle of the ball, dancing with a handsome prince and making her two ugly sisters green with envy. But when 12 o'clock struck, Cinderella faced an agonizing choice. Was she to leave immediately in a glittering carriage, or stay the rest of the evening and go home on a pumpkin?
And Rabbi Lionel Blue can be seen playing the lead role in Snow White at the Swansea Ballroom.
Well, good morning, Sneezy. Good morning, Doc. Good morning, Happy. Good morning, Sleepy. Good morning, Dopey. Good morning, Alan Titchmarsh. And don't worry, something will turn up. It usually does.
Whilst Ned Sheeran is the genie in Aladdin at the Walton-on-Thames Playhouse.
Yes, join me here this week in the lamp where I'll be offering you three wishes, one of which is almost certain to be that I stop with all the constant name-dropping the entire time. As I was saying just the other day over lunch to my good friends, Ali Baba, Widow Twankey and...
Hello, Stars in Their Eyes.
Oh, hello, that's the production office for Stars in Their Eyes.
It is indeed, yes.
Oh, hello, I'm a huge, huge fan of the programme. It's William Hague, the leader of the Conservative Party.
Hello.
I just wanted to just express I really enjoyed the final last week. It was wonderful. I wondered, is there a celebrity, Stars in Their Eyes, planned for sometime in the near future?
And what the best thing to do is actually speak to our executive producer's PA, but she's not at her desk at the moment.
Might they consider me, William Hague, actually taking part? Do you think that would be all right?
Sure, actually, but it's not really up to me. It's to do with our executive producer, so I can't comment on that. I don't imagine there'd be a problem, but right. I think it depends who you sound like as well.
I think I'd be Craig David. I'm a big Craig David fan.
We've got a Craig David on this series, but I don't know.
I'm walking away. The troubles in my life, I'm walking away.
Fantastic.
Oh, to find a better day. Yes, I might be a soul artist. I might be do you know that artist Minnie Riperton?
No.
I might be her.
Before my time, probably.
Oh, no, she did this really nice song called Loving You, and it went... La 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 do 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 do.
Can't remember that one.
This is the diary of Captain Robert Falcon Scott. The date is March 27th, 1912. We are caught in a terrible blizzard in the heart of the Antarctic, and our fuel and supplies are desperately low. We must act now if any of us are to have any chance of survival.
Right, at the moment, the explorers have a pathetic 2 powdered eggs and half a Kendall mint cake in the bank. Who's no longer pulling their weight? Who must be dispensed with right away? It's time to vote off the weakest explorer. Captain Scott, you voted for Captain Oates. Why?
Well, he's gone lame, I'm afraid. I just don't think he's up to it anymore.
Oh, you've hardly covered yourself in glory, have you? You were very confident you'd be first to reach the South Pole, but Amundsen beat you by over a month.
Oh, yes, it was very disappointing, but I...
Captain Oates, you voted for yourself. Oh. Aren't we the great martyr? Just trying to make yourself look good because you knew you'd be voted off?
No, Anne. I wish nobly to sacrifice myself so that my friends might live. Now, I'm just going outside. I may be gone for some time.
Stay where you are. Nobody leaves till I tell them. Right, so with a unanimous verdict, Captain Oates, you are the weakest explorer. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'm just going outside. I may be gone for some time.
You'll be gone forever, matey. Now do the walk of shame and get out.
Hello, you're listening to Today, where the time's coming up to 16 minutes earlier than whatever the time it was I said half an hour ago. I've been joined in the studio now by Anne Widdecombe. Now, Anne, there's talk of a tussle for the leadership between you and Portillo after Haig loses the next election. Is there any truth in this?
Well, if you can just let me get a word in edgeways, John. Said Anne, the gorgeous pouting virgin. As his lilting Welsh tones danced as if suspended on gossamer wings round her delicate ears, his every syllable causing her fresh, fragrant, youthful skin to tingle with hitherto unfelt desire.
Are you waiting for your moment to declare?
In regard to declaring, John. Anne knew he was aching to declare his lustful desires, his wanton need to caress her quivering milk-white bosom, to take his large Celtic hands, rough-hewn by hours of honest toil in his organic garden, and plunge them into her freshly laid vegetable patch.
Anne Widdecombe, you're avoiding the question. Are you considering a leadership challenge? Anne, is it yes or no?
Yes, John, yes, of course the answer's yes, a trillion times yes. Take your garden fork and skewer my compost. Hold your powerful hose aloft and soak my delicate lilies. John, John, sweep me up in your powerful arms and defrock this delicate pouting flower with your engorged manly passion.
Right. No. The words I thought I'd never be glad to say. Thought for the day, quick.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Coleshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Kevin Connolly. It was written by Tom Jameson and Niff Fante, Lawrence Harth, Danny Robbins and Dan Tetzel, Simon Blackwell, Gerard Foster, George Bowles and Simon Littlefield, Paul Cecilia and Howard Wicklow, John Holmes and John Coleshaw. The title music was by John Whitehall and the producer is Bill Dare.
New from BBC Enterprises, a tape all fans of Radio 4 continuity announcers can keep and treasure forever.
Just a minute, we'll be back at the same time next week. And in just a minute, the news.
Yes, embarrassed links at the end of comedy shows. All those comments that seem to scream out, well, we've had a bit of a laugh, but now it's back to the dull stuff, put together for the first time on one 90-minute audio tape. From the simply unforgettable...
I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. We'll be back at the same time next week. Now, let's hope Rob McElwee has a clue about the weather.
To the memorable...
More satirical silliness from the news quiz at the same time next week. Well, there's certainly plenty of news for Clary as she's quizzed by Eddie in the Archers.
And, of course, who could ever forget...